ListenUpNorth.com presents Down the Wagon Way, written and read by Ruth Henderson. I'm a big, strong woman, so the task is easy. I apply just a bit of pressure to the long iron bar I've laid across a sturdy rock, a couple of good heaves, and slowly the wooden rail wrenches from its bed. The sky is lightning and the watchman dew, but this has been a good night's work. Now, I must away and see to my man's breakfast. He's expected to lay 34 yards of rail this day. He's already up and singing, "Clap hands for Daddy coming down the wagon way, a pocket full of money and a cart full of hay." He's always singing that song. Whoever made it up knew nothing about wagon ways, and even less about money. 20 pieces of silver is all my Geordie gets, for laying wooden rails all the daylight hours God sends. And as for hay, fields of hay are for sane people, people who breathe good fresh air, not the choking black dust the big wooden wagons shed as they trundle past my window day and night. Coal, the bane of my life. We live on top of the mine where the smell of gas clings to everything. And the fires that burn day and night on the slag heap frighten me. It's a nightmare existence where all the boiling in the world doesn't wash the black grit from my wedding linen. This hell might just send me mad. I fear a day may come when I forget the sharp tang of the sea, fail to recognise when a storm is due just by the look of the sky. Some days I can't see the sky for the black clouds of dust that belch from the bowels of the earth. Forewarning of a cave-in. At least I'm spared that defining moment. Geordie doesn't work underground. I would never have married a pitman. I married a carpenter who mended boats, but he heard of this job going, building the wagonways to carry coal from the pit to the loading staiths on the river. £1 a week and a stone cottage for by. 5 shillings more than a ship's carpenter makes. He was determined to raise us up, but I am determined that my bairn will not be born to this. More setbacks will cost the owners money, make this pit unworkable, and they will shut it down. A heavy pounding on the back door interrupts his singing. It's Jack Clark, the foreman. In the friendly way of all neighbours, he steps straight in through the back door. They've bloody well... Oh, sorry, Maggie. Bram, that railed arm. Another rail torn up. He raises his voice. Come on by, Geordie. How are you now? Let's get it fixed afore the shift starts. Somebody will grudge, I reckon. My husband gives his opinion as he swings down the twisting staircase. He throws on his leather waistcoat and hefts his tool bag in a strong fist. Why, that's what I'd like to know. What's the point of wrecking our livelihood? We've got a sweet number here. If I get my hands on them... Jack leaves the threat unspoken. Nodding goodbye, they leave. Their voices flattened immediately by the foul and noxious fumes that eat away at the bricks of this house and the substance of my soul. So, they've noticed only the one splintered rail. I didn't think they'd see the one that runs in shadow behind the privy at the bottom of our garden. The bairn moves and I put a quieting hand over my belly. I'll have to tell Geordie he's to be a father, but not yet. Later, when we're back home and he's free, working in good sea air again. Down by the river, I soak up the scene. The harbour is busy, with fishermen drying and mending their nets, the cabin boys washing down the decks, and impatient merchants whipping up their horses, hurrying to their businesses with tubs of sweet fish, bright and gleaming fresh from the sea. And he'll make a fat profit. I sit on the wall next to my da, and while we talk, my hands pick up a torn net and savour the heft of the wooden needle. In, under, catch the new string, and out. I don't even think about the action. My da's hands are ribboned with open keens. Mother has lathered them with wintergreen, but it only soothes. He shakes his head at me. It's nae use, Maggie. Times are changing. We have to move with them. This new engine I've got for the boat means I'm paying off, not setting on. Oh, please, Da, give him a chance. I'm sure he'll soon catch on. Geordie? No, he'll never be a fisherman, let alone an engineer. His hands are made for wood. And anyway, he was never at ease out there. I follow his eyes to the sea. It's different every day, but remains steadfast. It knows its place in the world, and no man can ever take it inland and kill it stone dead. Da heaves a heavy net into the hold and picks up another. You know, Pet, a man needs to feel he's making a difference, needs to know that his family can depend on him, and if his heart's not at ease, he cannot walk. Leave him be, man. Take him as you find him. Oh, it's not him, Da. God knows it's not my man. It's that place, the stink and the dirt. You have no idea what it's like. The coal. It's in our bread and our bed. There's no shift in it. It's your keeping now, lass, and you have to work with it. Do you think your ma likes the stink of fish? Think she enjoys casting about in the freezing sand for bait, day in, day out, no matter the weather? Baiting the long lines, chasing tides until she breathes her last. Have some sense and a way home to your man. I will never tell Geordie that I begged for a job for him and was rejected by my own father. Never tell him that he's been replaced by an engine. An engine! It would break his heart. Him, a man of the earth who works with trees and sighs with pleasure when he runs his eye along a smooth rail, straight and true because of his skill. Through the window I watch him stride up the back garden path, but he does not stop to pluck me a rose from the briar bush he allows to overhang the gate, or pick the caterpillars from his newly planted cabbages. Something is badly wrong. He steps in under the door lintel, his shoulders bent and his bonny eyes dull in his handsome face. I wait at the range, cloth in hand, ready to serve fish pie. The crab and cod meat fresh and succulent, rich with cream sauce under a golden pastry. What's wrong? I ask. Bad do, Maggie. Them who are sabotaging the rails have gone too far this time. I'll bet Richards is laid up, maybe never walk, and it's certain sure he'll never graft again. Murdering bl-. He leaves the profanity hanging. Throwing his precious tool bag under the bench, he bends to wash his hands at the ready dish of water. The inspectors never saw the broken rail. Right outside here. He points a dripping finger towards the bottom of our garden. Albert was coming down on the main way, sitting on the brake with the horse running ahead of him, when the tampered track splintered and upended the wagon. He was trapped for hours till we got him free. He's in a bad way, and they had to shoot the poor horse. The bane lurches and I feel sick. I stagger. Geordie is solicitous, sits me at the table and apologises for being thoughtless. Him, thoughtless. It's not in his nature. He kneels at my feet. Your ma told me how unhappy you are here. I'll make it right for us, Hinny. I'll get another job. But it is I who should make amends, and I will try. I will live here with this good man who I love, this man, the father of my child. I will take him as he is. Please God that he takes me. No, I plead with him. You love your job and they need you here. You don't know? He asks me with concern, worrying his gentle brow. You haven't heard the bad news? His honest eyes shame me. I'm numb. What news can be worse than learning I have lamed a man, thrown his family on the parish and killed a poor dumb animal? I'm barely able to shake my head. Geordie takes my face in his calloused hands. We're finished here. They're bringing steam engines. There's to be no more wooden rails. Steel and steam is the new age. I'm a carpenter. I cannot work with engines. Tears flood my face. He holds me. I cannot work underground, but I'll keep you safe, he tells me. I'll have a word with you, Da. I'll take to the fishing.